Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's happening, good people? We are live. It is here. It is the Triple Threat Podcast. I'm your boy, DJ Shockley. And I got my man, Scotty D, of course, joining me. And we got so much to talk about today. A lot of stuff going on, man, around the world for sure. A lot of these pro days going on. We're going to talk some of the Final Four. We're going to talk some of these pro days with all these dudes running all these crazy fast times. Do they matter? Don't they matter? Obviously, we're going to talk about the 49ers, what they did, moving all the way up to number three. And then, you guys, we have a very special guest joining the show today. I can't wait to talk to this dude. Y'all know him. Y'all seen him. Used to knock people out in 10 seconds of every single fight. Iron Mike Tyson will be joining the show today. So make sure you tune in and stay tuned because we got Iron Mike coming on. We're going to ask him, why did you bite Holyfield's ear, bro? Well, we're going to ask him straight up and see if he don't get mad. But we got Iron Mike coming. But before then, we're going to talk all other things. And we're going to talk a bunch of stuff about what's going on in today's world. First off, Scotty D., you got the vaccination. How you doing? Obviously, you're doing all right because you're on the show. What's popping?
I'm doing fine, man. It didn't bother me at all. I had some issues with my tummy.
Nah.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Nah, keep it all the way 100. What happened to Scotty D? Don't say I had any issues. That could be anything. What kind of issues?
Tummy. Huh? I had tummy issues.
Tummy? What are you, yeah. Six? What are you, yeah. Six tummy?
I'm not saying the D word, DJ.
my man Scotty D had the BGs, man. The bubble guts going on because of the. You know, well, when I got the vaccine, man, bro, all I had was like a headache. My wife had a real bad headache for a little bit, but other than that, man, everybody been good. A little soreness, but other than that, all is well. I get my second one here in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited to be fully vaccinated. And guess what? I'm hitting the club, baby. No, I'm just playing. But
man, I'm excited, man. This is such an exciting time for sports. You got opening day in baseball today.
For sure.
You got all this stuff surrounded the NFL draft going on right now.
For sure.
The NBA season is starting to take shape. The Masters is coming up. Ooh, I mean, Masters. What a great – and I don't know, kind of a couple big basketball games coming up in a couple days. The Final Four. There's never this wide of a variety of stuff going on at one time. I love it. Great time
of
the year.
No doubt. If you're a sports fan, man, you're excited, man, because if you like to watch sports on TV, if you like to be involved in everything that's going on, this is perfect timing. And obviously, you just talked about the Final Four. Let's start there, bro. Obviously, Final Four's coming up. The Final Four is set. Gonzaga will be taking on UCLA. How about that game with UCLA and Michigan? That was a heck of a game. Came down to the wire. Thought Juwan Howard's squad was going to pull it out. Had a couple shots at it there at the end. Gonzaga looks like freaking the real deal. I mean,
yeah, they do.
I saw these numbers the other day. I couldn't believe them. 29 of their 30 games, they have won by 10 points or more. How crazy is that? And what are they, 30-0 right now? I mean, it's unbelievable. 50 points per game for them come in the paint. So guess what? My man in the middle, who I like to call my man Drew Timmy. Drew Timmy is balling. Dude is a prop. I don't know. Hey, Scotty, when you going to get that stash like Drew Timmy, man? I mean, that whole goatee. I want you to come on one week and have that Drew Timmy.
I saw a meme somewhere. It said, I don't think I can pull for a basketball team where their lead player looks like he just lost 6'3", 6'2", 6'0", to Jimmy Connors in the Wimbledon. He looks like a 70s tennis player with the headband and the mustache, man.
Young Fu Manchu going on, man. My man Drew Timmy, but he's a baller, man. He's rocking it, man. So you got Gonzaga, UCLA on one side, and you got Baylor and Houston on the other side. Baylor, Davion Mitchell is their star, a legit dude, and 83% of their points come from the guard. So you got one team on the other side where all their points come from in the paint, and Baylor on the other side, all their points come from the perimeter. And I think everybody is thinking it's going to be Gonzaga and Baylor in the championship game. Obviously, Houston's been a fun team, but UCLA, how about that, man? UCLA is an 11th seed, man. 11th
play-in game. They had to play an extra game.
Yeah, which is, I saw that. One of four last four at-large teams selected to the tourney. Obviously, they're the 11th seed. Johnny Juzang is their baller player. He had 28 versus Michigan the other night. He scored their first 14 of 16 points in that ball game. Dude was hooping. Does UCLA have any chance versus Gonzaga, man? I mean, can they keep it close? What do you think?
Well, I also want to say about Johnny Juzang, he also hit those last two free throws at the end of the game to ice it, too.
He missed one of them, though, bro. He missed one of them.
So, no, I don't think they have a chance, but I wouldn't have thought they had a chance the last two games either, you know? So they've been there's been some amazing games. The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are certainly no exception. That Michigan UCLA game was amazing. The Baylor Arkansas game was terrific. So great games. I got three of my Final Four left, man. If Baylor beats Houston, I'm winning my pool, man.
So basically, nothing matters in between time. As long as you pick what's going to happen at the end, that's how you get in.
Well, I mean, it matters. I was good enough to be in this position.
Okay.
How much bread
you got on the line, though, Scotty? How much bread you got?
I did two brackets, 25 each. And okay. I put in one of mine, I got Gonzaga winning, and the other I got Baylor winning.
Okay.
And I got Houston in my Final Four. So as long as Baylor beats Houston, it doesn't matter what happens last game, one of my brackets will win. So it's like 750.
Dang. Oh, 750 right. bucks?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Daddy needs new shoes, man.
I should have gotten in on that, man. 750. I could have did something with that. That's all right, though. Hey, man. But Houston, going back to those fly, slammer, jammer days. Mm-hmm. They ain't been back there since, what was that, like 83 or something like that? Well, how long ago was that?
Yeah, 84, I think.
84? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So shout out to Houston, man. Houston doing good things. But also, man, if you was watching that Gonzaga game, the referee, Burt Smith, collapsed. Did you see that?
No.
He collapsed with like 5 minutes into the game, and they showed a picture of him. He's over on the sideline. He's standing there, and dude literally just falls out. Head hits the back on the ground and everything. It was scary for a second. No. He ended up coming to, and he was all good, but it was scary, man. 5 minutes into the game, the dude fell. His name was Burt Smith, and lucky – he was good to go, man. So
prayers out for Burt Smith, man. I didn't know that.
No doubt. So Saturday, April 3rd, it's going down. Houston versus Baylor at 5:14 on CBS, and UCLA takes on Gonzaga at 8:34 that night. So should be interesting. Should be great time. Should be good things happening on Saturday night. Get your popcorn, get your drink, because it's going to be popping on Saturday night for the Final Four to head to the championship game. And the women's side of it.
Hey, DJ, do we need to make picks on this? Or are we both going with the one seeds?
Yeah, I'm going with Zaga, man. I'm going with
all right,
Zaga.
Well, on that note, I do want to point out that I won 2 out of 3 games last week, just saying.
So how many did I win last week? Because I thought I won 2 out of 3.
You won Michigan.
I won Michigan. Who else I had? Oregon?
You had Oregon, and you had Villanova.
Yeah, they right. I had them. They lost.
Yeah.
All good.
I just want to just, we keep on, you know, moving. not important, but I just thought we should bring it up.
Yeah, not important at all. No. I'm not kidding about that. Yeah. You won. It's all good. We both like Gonzaga take it all. I've seen Gonzaga play a few times in the tourney, and they look damn good. So I think we're going to ride with Gonzaga, both of us. So ain't no need of us going against that. Like I mentioned, the Women's Final Four, you got South Carolina, a number one seed, taking on Stanford, a number one seed. And then you got number 3 Arizona taking on number 1 seed UConn. UConn almost took an L now. Did you see that game? UConn versus Baylor came down. So, obviously, the big controversy, was it foul? No foul. Foul or no foul, Scotty? What you say?
Foul.
Definitely foul. No doubt.
everybody except referee knew it was a foul.
Hey, man, he hit homegirl in the face and everything, bro. It was bad. So, feel bad for Baylor, man. They had their chance. One of their star players went down in the game, hurt the hamstring and couldn't finish. So, that was a big part of it. I think that's when UConn went on their big roll. And I think they, you know, scored like 15 straight points or some craziness like that. But UConn advances. And how about this? Gino Auriemma, 13 straight Final Fours. I mean, how crazy is that?
That's nuts.
You think about every single year, you continue to get the top girls in the country to come play at UConn, and then you coach him up, and now they're in the Final Four. He's got the number one player. Her name is Paige, and she was hooping. When I say hooping, pulling up, shooting that thing, she had like 28 or something like that. She was killing out there.
Freshman.
True freshman. Crazy. Moment not too big. So Arizona, UConn, South Carolina, Stanford. How about Stanford? Anna Wilson plays on that team. Russell Wilson's sister. Russell Wilson was at the game rooting for his sister. Number one, Stanford seems to be the favorite from what everybody says, but I've seen South Carolina play. I think they're pretty darn good. Staley, this is the third time in 6 years she's taken them to the Final Four. Let's pick that game. South Carolina, Stanford. Who you like? Yeah, come on.
Who do you like? I'll take the other one.
Okay. I'm going to ride with South Carolina, man. Carolina. I'm going to keep it in the SEC if South Carolina can roll. I know Stanford's supposed to be the real deal. I'm going to ride with South Carolina, man. All right. Arizona and UConn, you pick.
I got to pick UConn.
You can't go against me, right?
No. Can't go against them. But I do. It is noteworthy. Like these other three teams are all, they've been in plenty of Final Fours. This is Arizona's first Final Four. So that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, no doubt. First time in program history, which is pretty darn cool. So those games are going to go on Friday, April 2nd. South Carolina versus Stanford at 6 p.m. on ESPN. And then you got Arizona taking on UConn at 9:30 on ESPN Friday. So you got Friday night, you got women's Final Four. Saturday night, you get the men's Final Four. So Friday and Saturday is going to be packed with tons of great basketball. Make sure you tune in, watch them, supporting both. I don't think you can go wrong because it's going to be good basketball. It's been great basketball, I think, in this March Madness. It's been well worth it, man. I'm glad they had everybody in the same place and everybody's kind of been good. And we've had been treated to some really good basketball. So I'm excited about that, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing who takes. We both think Gonzaga's going to take it. All right. So if you say UConn, I say South Carolina, if you had to pick, who wins it all out of the four, regardless of who you pick, who you think wins it all?
I'll take I'll go with Stanford.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll pick against the chalk in the championship.
You going Stanford?
Yeah.
Man, that's gonna be
It's not the chalk pick, but I'll take them.
Yeah, I got you. South Carolina, UConn, man. I'm gonna go with UConn, man. Obviously, so that means I think South Carolina is gonna play UConn in the championship game. So I think UConn, obviously been there, done that. I like Dawn Staley and what they're doing in South Carolina, but UConn, they've been in that game plenty of times. Who knows what can happen? So should be interested, man. Either way, I ain't going to be mad who win. I'm excited to watch some good basketball from both the men's and the women's. All right, let's jump into some football now. Obviously, a lot going on. We're getting closer and closer to pro day. We got pro days. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. April is near. It's almost here, and we got, almost a month to – before the draft comes, and a bunch of pro days have been going on. I participate in pro days. I know what they mean. I know the importance of them for me as a player. Mm-hmm. How much stake do you put into pro days?
I'll answer the question, but did you get invited to the combine?
Yes,
you did. That's cool.
So I did combine and pro days. Yes.
I'd love to hear a little bit about that one day. No, I think it's important. It's not super interesting to me. I like watching the combine because you see the best in the country all come together and doing it against each other. What we've seen, I haven't sat down and watched anybody's. I'm sure that there's coverage of people's pro day where you're seeing a lot of stuff compacted. What I've seen is like this guy's running the 40, this guy's running the 40, this guy's running the 40. This guy's throwing the deep ball. This guy's throwing the deep ball. This guy's throwing a deep ball. So it's not as interesting to me as the combine is, but I know it's super important to the coaches and to these players for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think in this time where the guys aren't able to travel, they're not able to go to do these kind of individual workouts with all the teams. This is the time that these coaches get a chance to see them up close and personal. Now, for me, you got the tape. You got all that can prove what a guy can do. Now, this is just reinforcement on a pro day. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I didn't like about pro days was there were certain drills that I thought did not matter in the grand scheme of that position or that player. Like, it makes no sense for me for an offensive lineman to run a 40. When will an offensive lineman need to run a 40 and run 40 yards full speed doing anything? He doesn't need to do that. Now, the 5-10-5, maybe that's a better drill for them, because you're talking about short area quickness. You're talking about being able to move in certain spots.
Yeah, how agility
does this
stuff,
guy move? Yeah, this guy, you know, he's got good hip mobility, all that kind of stuff for linebackers. All that stuff is good. But, like, for offensive linemen, no reason for those dudes to be running a 40-yard dash. So,
What did you have to do that you didn't think was necessary?
So, for me, I don't think it's important for QBs to have to do how many times can you do a bench press? Why does that matter? Like, you're not ever going to have to need that kind of strength or that stamina to worry about why is this guy can do it certain amount of times. Now, for me, when I came out, I didn't do 225. I had a chance to do it. I did it when I was working out, and I did it 22 times. And I was like, okay, if I do this, people are going to look at me, because this was still in the time where – you know, athletic quarterbacks were still looked at as maybe they can play another position. Yeah. And I didn't want people to look at me and say, okay, this dude is a 4.51 speed guy. This guy can bench press 225 pounds 22 times. Yeah. This dude can absolutely play safety. This dude can absolutely play receiver. And I didn't want that. So some of that stuff I just didn't do because I didn't want that in the minds of scouts and coaches and all that kind of stuff. So I did pretty much everything else, but I didn't do the bench press. And, you know, I still wanted people to know I could run and all that kind of stuff. Because that's
so you skip like the strength. You skip the strength stuff.
I mean, there was no need for me to do that. No, but I did do all the drills. As far as the drills you do as a quarterback, I wanted them to know every single throw I can do. I wanted them to see me do play action. I wanted to see me be under center. I wanted to see me in the gun. I wanted to see me better do RPO stuff so that any offense you're in, I know this guy can do it. And I think that's where some people get it misconstrued with the QBs is, why is this guy rolling to his left and throwing it all the way back to the right? Well, what are people so enamored with quarterbacks? How they throw off platform, how they throw when they got guys in their face. So I think that's why QBs get in these drills and they do some of these funky stuff because it's more game-like stuff than you people actually may think. So I had no problem with it because I know Zach Wilson had a crazy throw where he's running to his left and he throws it 60 yards, you know, back to his right, and people were enamored with it and they were saying, oh, why would he do it too? So I understand.
Well, what if he's
it?
Being flushed? That's a game situation, man. You're getting flushed to the left and all of a sudden you got a receiver that breaks out down the right, and you see, and you actually to see him would be the hardest part to even recognize that that was happening. But that's a game situation. We got to 20 years ago, we got to really see that. I mean, I guess it's not the first. Doug Flutie was like that. Steve Young was like that. But we got to see Michael Vick do that kind of stuff. Now, while there have been other guys that have done it some, Patrick Mahomes has made that his thing. I mean, and who does everybody think is the best quarterback in the NFL right now from a talent perspective?
And that's the real deal. Yeah. When you're watching any game that he does, the replays come more often when he's rolling to his left and he throws it back, or he throws one underhand, or he shovels it underhand. Those are the things that people are looking at now, like, why would you do that in a pro deck? Why would do that during the time? But guess what?
Yeah, he throws it under a defensive end's armpit. Yeah.
People like it. People like
So what have you seen in some of these pro days that you find interesting?
You know what? I love the fact that they're doing so many different type of things. You're seeing guys who are usually in the gun, like a Zach Wilson, who was majority of the time he was in the gun. He had some under center plays for sure, but he did a bunch of stuff in his pro day from under center where he showed, hey, I can do play action, or I can bootleg from left to right or right to left, whatever it may be. Now we've seen all five of the top quarterbacks throw in a particular pro day. Mac Jones had two pro days. Some people said, hey, he missed a lot of throws in his second one. His first one was pretty good. He's maybe climbing up the boards. One scout I heard say had him late first round, even going into the second round. It just depends on what you like, you know? So I think a lot of these QBs are just trying to show, like, when you think about a defensive back, there was a guy who was doing some stuff, and he said, hey, I can play nickel. I can play corner. I can play safety, the versatility. That's the same thing that happens with quarterbacks. They want to show the versatility in their game. I can be on the center. I can be in the gun. I can throw it left to right. I can throw it with pressure in my face. I can make quick decisions. Those are some of the things that I think scouts want to see, but also QBs who are going through this process want to show off, and that's what they're doing. So I don't mind any of the stuff they're doing. I like the fact that guys aren't afraid to do some of the things that are considered not the norm, and it shows that these guys have that ability. When we're talking about some of these 40-yard dashes, man, Justin Fields obviously had his pro day this week, 4.41. Everybody knew he could run, showed the speed. I think he measured it like 6'3", 228. So you know he's a big kid. Ja'Marr Chase, who a lot of people consider could be the number one pass catcher or could be the number one or two receiver coming off the board, 4.38, broad jumps 11 feet, and is vertical, 41 inches. Now, we haven't seen him since 2019,
right?
But this dude still showed that he's in shape and has that kind of ability. Watch his pro day. The dude can run. Dude can run all kind of routes. Look good. Other times, Terrence Marshall, his other teammate, 4.38, 38-inch vertical, and he's 6'4", 200-plus. Kyle Pitts, I know you watched your Florida guys there. Scotty D, 4.44 from a tight end. Are you freaking kidding me? Kadarius Toney, 4.41. Kerry Vincent Jr., guy who opted out in the 2020 season, corner from LSU, 4.38, 4.33. So you're talking about speed all over the board. Yeah. And this brings me to the next conversation I want to talk about, Scotty. Obviously, we talked about the 49ers moving up to that number three spot.
Right.
And they clearly said, we're going to take a quarterback. We're going to keep Jimmy G around. Obviously, if they get the right offer, he may be gone. But they want a quarterback at number three. At that number three spot, who do you think is the best fit for him? Because everybody's saying, oh, they're moving up for Mac Jones. But also you watch Justin Fields and say, man, that dude could fit real nice in Shanahan's system. Who do you like at that number three spot?
Yeah, it was interesting because they didn't just – you don't have to read between the lines that they want a quarterback. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said, we are drafting a quarterback – and Jimmy Garoppolo had to listen to that, you know?
No doubt.
But they think that he can be their best chance to win. So I think that's an interesting dynamic. I still think they'd like to move Garoppolo if they can. Yeah. So that being said, I don't know. I still don't know who's the number two guy. You know, I hear that Trey Lance is such a project. How can you have him in the top three or four if he's a project? That's hard for me to reconcile. So it's either.
So are you not sold that Zach Wilson's going to the Jets? Are you not sold on that?
No.
Really?
I'm also not sold on who's number two. I don't know if it's if it's Fields Justin Wilson. Zach Wilson.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. I gotcha. Okay.
I don't know which it is, but it's hard to tell. I think that Sam Darnold situation. We've talked about it for a couple months now, man, and I still don't know what they plan to do with him.
I guarantee you the 49ers tried to trade up to two. I guarantee you they tried to go to the Jets and say, look, we want that pick because we have a guy we really like. I think they got two guys who they really, really like. And if they don't get Zach Wilson, the next guy who they really like is the guy. For me, I think it's Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields fits that mold. Regardless of what everybody else is saying, they're trading up to get Mac Jones. They're really excited about Mac Jones. Think he could go to Carolina.
Nah.
I am a fan of Justin Fields. And I think people forget what this guy did in 2019. When he came in, this guy's won 20 of 22 games as a starter, 19-0 in his regular season, led him to the college football playoff twice and a national championship, over 5,000 yards, 78 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in two seasons. And you're talking about in 19, this dude threw for 41 touchdowns and ran for another 10 touchdowns. And then what he did against Clemson in a college football playoff while injured against the number one. That's everybody thinks the number one player, obviously, on the board in Trevor Lawrence. I think Justin Fields fits what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. Having a versatile guy who can move, who can throw, I think he is adding a different dimension. I think Mac Jones is not an upgrade to Jimmy Garoppolo. I truly don't. I think Mac Jones is a really good player. I think he's a smart, intelligent guy who can, you know, obviously did a lot of great things at Alabama. But when I think of a guy who is a generational talent who will change the organization, I think Justin Fields will be that guy for San Francisco, and he gives them a bigger upside than Mac Jones. That's my opinion. I think he goes at three.
So you're saying Zach Wilson's going at two?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes. See, that a lot of times when you ask me what I think about something, I'm trying to speculate what is going to happen, not right. necessarily how I feel.
No doubt. Okay.
I still have a hard time putting Zach Wilson in front of Justin Fields.
I hear you.
And based on all that data you just spit out, I have a hard time going against Justin Fields. I don't buy into the Ohio State quarterback thing because every quarterback is different. Mm-hmm. That really means nothing to me. Mm-hmm. But I certainly don't see Mac Jones. I think he would be eventually an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. I do not think he's a number three pick, though.
Yeah.
That to me, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't see it. If it happens, then, hey, they must feel really good about it and, you know some things about him that we don't and how it fits into their system. And that's why this draft is so intriguing. That's why them going up to number three is so intriguing. And so many people are excited to see what happens. Now, a lot of people are saying Mac Jones is Matt Ryan 2.0, and he will be what Matt Ryan was when Kyle Shanahan was in Atlanta, and he won the MVP and went to the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. Well, I think the jury's still out on that. I still want to see Mac Jones on the next level and see what he's about to. Now, we talked about pick three. Obviously, we're both here in Atlanta. We both are Falcons fans. What do you think happens at four now? Because obviously people think one, two, and three are QBs. At number four, the draft really starts for the Falcons. They have so many options at this number four spot. If they stay, they pick up more draft picks. What do you think happens for the Falcons at number four?
I think if they make a pick, I want it to be Penei Sewell.
Okay.
If they drop back to maybe pick up somebody else, that's probably what I'd prefer to get more capital. But everything that I've read and seen, he's definitely the top offensive lineman in the draft. But if they want to drop back and then pick the second offensive lineman or one of the top couple defensive ends, you know, edge guys, that's what I would like to happen. What's going to happen? It's hard. I don't know. I don't know what this new GM and coach combination is going to do, you know?
Scotty D, I ain't going to lie, man. I am a little drunk on the Kool-Aid right now. And I am drunk on the Kool-Aid of your guy, Kyle Pitts.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard for me to get off of what this guy can add. It's kind of like a couple years ago when you had Julio – you had Sanu, and you still go out and draft Calvin Ridley. And people are like, what? Yeah. Why would you go do that? And now we're seeing just how special Calvin Ridley is, even with Julio Jones on the field. And for me, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and Kyle Pitts now, what kind of matchup you can have with those dudes? Yeah. And you're trying to – just think about it. If you have those three guys outside, we already know Arthur Smith is a guy who likes to run the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got these three guys. There's no way you can load the box for the run.
Right, right.
And spread it out and cover those three guys. Now, I love the fact that you want to get an offensive lineman because we are for sure in need of that left guard spot. They've went out and, you know, they got some couple guys in free agency up front to give some depth. Penei Sewell is obviously a franchise changer as well. This is interesting because – when I watch Kyle Pitts in his pro day, I know it's on air, but I remember the film. I remember what he did to my Georgia Bulldogs, and he had corners on him. He had linebackers on him. Mm-hmm. He had safeties on him, and he mossed them all. This wasn't just versus Georgia, but he did it versus everybody. Yeah. This dude had 12 touchdowns this season, over 700 yards, 40-plus catches. This dude is the real deal. Now, I think he's the top five talent. Whether the Falcons take him there is interesting because right after that, you know, you got Cincinnati there who could take Penei Sewell. You got the Dolphins who moved back into it, got the number six. They may be looking to get maybe Jamar Chase, maybe Devontae Smith, somebody for Tua. So I think after that Falcons pick, there's going to be a run on those skill players if, you know, the Falcons go with Penei Sewell or they go with one of those receivers. So it's interesting, man.
I can't get mad at it, but to me, if it was the old regime,
yeah,
I wouldn't surprise me. They trade way up to get Julio.
Right, they
went and got Calvin when they probably didn't need him.
True.
The way I look, if I was a GM, and I certainly don't have the experience to know exactly what I'd do, but there's the two arguments. There's our biggest need or best available, right? Yeah. That's your two. Why would you not mesh the two and put people in buckets, basically? Okay, if we're picking fourth, we've got a bucket of eight players that all are warranted in the fourth for the, you know, that all can be justified for the fourth pick. Now, so that's your best available. Now, what's our need in this group of six, seven players, whatever.
See, what's crazy is you're going to have the pick of whatever you want. So you're probably going to have each player on that board that you like and love and think is a need or want, you will be able to pick. So now I think it just comes down to which guy do you love the most?
Well,
from day one is going to be that dude.
That's an interesting thought, because I hadn't really thought of it like that before. Because if you've decided you're not taking a quarterback, it's like you got the first pick of the draft.
No doubt. That's what
if they all go quarterback. That's interesting. I didn't even think of it like that.
Yeah, man. So it's going to be interesting what happens as that continues to kind of unfold itself. Other news, man. Trevor Lawrence has decided not to attend the draft. He will be at Clemson on draft day to do that. It's a guy that had over 10,000 career yards, 90-plus touchdowns, and is planning to watch it from Clemson and not participate in the actual draft process, which is, in Cleveland going on. So I think that's going to be fun to watch, man. There's so many storylines to look at. And one more thing on Kyle Pitts. I saw this today. Mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts has the longest wingspan than any receiver or tight end in the NFL in the last 20 years. Breaking DK Metcalf's record. His wingspan is 83 3/8. When I saw that, I said, goodness. You're talking about the yes. Yeah.
I don't even know what that looks like.
The Kelseys and Kittles of the world who are killing. And now you're going to bring in a guy who people say he could be just as good or better. So another little tidbit for you Kyle Pitts fans out there who says, I actually tweeted something about Kyle Pitts today, and it got the view of the people down there in Gatorland, and they retweeted and liked what I said. So I'm sure.
Nice. See, we're all friends. We're all friends, DJ.
Oh man. So man, the draft's gonna be exciting, man. Yeah. We got a lot going on. Obviously, with the draft and so many scenarios, a lot of great players around the country are gonna get their chance to get their name called come April 29th through the 3rd. So we'll see what happens with that, man. Don't forget, man, we got Iron Mike Tyson jumping on in a minute, man. I told you,
we're huge
fighting that ear, man. You know what I'm saying? See if Tyson will answer straight up. We'll see. All right, but man, other news going around, man, the world. Chad Morris, man. You remember Chad Morris, former Arkansas head coach and Auburn offensive coordinator? He takes over the job at Allen High School, which is a powerhouse in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this. He's replacing Terry Gamble, who went 65-4 and won a championship in 5 years. This is the same school that Kyler Murray went to in 2012 through 14, and he led him to a 57-game winning streak with three straight titles. Now, Chad Morris coached 16 years in high school in Texas, where he went 169-38 with three straight titles. He also went 16-0 in back-to-back years at Lake Travis, which is near Austin, before he went to college. So Chad Morris is going to a powerhouse in Texas to be their head coach. Interesting news there. I always thought Chad Morris was a really good offensive coach. You'll see if he can find his way back to the to the college ranks. Other news, the NFL expands the regular season to 17 games, three preseason games, and they still only have one bye week, though. I think that's the thing that needs to be changed. And Roger Goodell said he's expecting full stadiums this season. So 17 games and then one bye week and then the preseason. All right. One other thing here I wanted to bring up. We talk about them having 17 games in this season, right? So I said, how does that, go for some guys who are making some extra money? I read this today. So players – online to earn at least an extra $1 million in 2021, which is an extra 1/17 of large base salaries on their original contracts, include Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Aaron Donald, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Frank Clark, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, and DeMarcus Lawrence will all get another $1 million because of the extra game that's being played this season. So I thought that was interesting, man, that, hey, these dudes, they may be mad they're getting a 17 game and the season's going to be longer, but guess what? Their pocket's going to get a little bit fatter because of the extra game. What do you think about them adding a 17 game, man?
Well, I don't have season tickets anymore, but as a former season ticket holder, I hated that all the preseason game. I mean, the assumption is preseason is going to be shortened, right? So I hated that, and everybody complains about this. You hate to pay full freight for preseason garbage games. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm all for, man. They want to do 20 games, 25 games, do it. I'm all for more football. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So and other thing about this, only having three preseason games. As a guy who's been in that spot, who understands the importance of preseason games, some guys will be left off. Some guys will not have the opportunity to make a roster because they will not have that last final game in the preseason. And there are a bunch of guys who make careers off playing well in the preseason that help give them extra years in the league. So that's the only downfall, is missing that other preseason game that everybody was looking forward to having, especially if you're one of those guys who's on the bubble, who's on the last 15 of that roster trying to make a squad. Other news, Vandy, finally. Vandy's in the news, man. Vandy to spend $300 million to upgrade their facilities. I've been to Vandy a couple times throughout my last few years in the SEC calling games. They have had some of the worst facilities in all the league. This is the smallest stadium in the league, and their last renovation, Scotty, check this out. 1981 was the last renovation to their stadium.
I was just about to say that stadium is straight out of 1978. So I was close.
You was close. So yeah, they're looking to upgrade meeting rooms, offices, training room, expanded room, full length indoor practice facility, and they want to upgrade the fan experience, the premium seating, and hospitality space as well. So about time for Vandy, man. Jordan Rogers, who I know with the SEC Network, says it's been the same terrible place that he was when he was there, and they're finally going to get some upgrades. So shout out to Clark Lee, who's coming in there and making some upgrades already. Yeah,
good for him, because I can accept that Vanderbilt's not trying to be Tennessee. They're not trying to be Georgia. They're not trying to be Alabama. But if you're getting all the same money that every other SEC team is getting, how do you justify not having these improvements, you know?
No doubt. So first up on the upgrade facilities will be the football and the basketball facilities. So Vandy will be able to have a competitive try in the SEC when, you know, guys come there. Obviously, the draw to Vanderbilt is their academics, which is probably pretty close to some of the top premier institutions around the country. Mm-hmm. But now they're trying to compete with facilities, which is big news for them, and obviously have been in the works and needed to be done for a long time. All right, coming up in a couple minutes, we got my man Mike Tyson before we get out of here. We got Mike Tyson coming up. And then last thing I want to talk about, did you watch much of the UFC fight? Francis Ngannou knocked out Stipe Miocic. I mean, knocked him to sleep. And now he wants to fight John Jones. I want you to look up this dude, Francis Ngannou. When you get a chance, Scotty D, look up Francis Ngannou and look at this dude. This dude was sculpted by God. This dude is ripped. When I say ripped beyond ripped, this dude's like 6'4", 6'5", and he's like 260 pounds, but looks like a freaking god. So this dude is an animal in the ring. Octagon. Yeah, an octagon. Dude is a beast for sure in the octagon, and he wants to fight John Jones this year as well as Derek Lewis. All right, man, baseball opening day is around the corner.
It's today.
Today.
Right. Yeah.
Today is Thursday. Absolutely. Opening day, Braves at Phillies, Blue Jays at Yankees, Dodgers at Rockies, Mets at Nationals, White Sox and Angels, Astros at A's. Scotty D, I know you're a huge baseball fan and guy. What are you most looking forward to in opening day, man?
Just, I'm looking forward to see how all the postseason moves translate to success on the field. There's been a handful of teams that have made some huge, big, expensive moves. And So it's going to be interesting to see how they pay off. I'm looking at teams like the Mets, the Padres, the White Sox. So some of these teams that were middle of the road teams a year ago, or maybe a little better than middle of the road, trying to make some moves. And obviously, you know me, I'm gonna be looking at the Padres and Dodgers all season. But also, I think the Braves division is gonna be super competitive. So
no doubt, man.
I'm excited. I'm gonna watch baseball all day, and get my fill.
Yeah, man. Obviously, the Braves won the division last year. Expect them to do it again. Got a really good ball club. I know you're a big Dodgers fan. So obviously, we'll see how the Dodgers can compete coming up here. Opening day is arising around the corner. And one last thing before we get on here with my man, Iron Mike Tyson. You heard a story about some pennies. We didn't get to it last week, but I wanted to make sure we got to it so that you could tell this story, because I hear it's pretty great.
So there's a I didn't know we were getting to that today, but I got it. So
I don't got to keep on your toes, brother.
Yeah. So there was a guy named Andreas Flatten. Okay. He worked at a Walker Luxury Auto Works in Peachtree City, Georgia. All uh-huh. right. And he gave his 2-week notice in writing, and the owner, Miles Walker, was not too thrilled about this notice.
He basically paid his dude in pennies. No, he didn't.
So it took weeks. He kept asking, "Where's my money? Where's my money? Where's my last paycheck?" He was still owed $915.
Bro, stop playing.
They guess what? Flatten and his wife woke up with 500 pounds of oil covered pennies on their driveway.
You lying.
He dumped 500 pounds of pennies on his driveway.
He gave that man $900 worth of pennies, bro.
And you know what does this guy do? He's got to clean them all up to do anything with them. So now he's got them all in his garage and he's cleaning them a little bit at a time. That's what a so jackass, dirty. You know?
That's so dirty. That's so messed up. Dude paid him in pennies because he was mad he left. Oh, that's so messed up. And then you got to do the work and clean them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's crazy. Oh, man. All right, man. So, hey. He got it bread one way or another. He got his 900 bucks. So, hey, all is well. All right, coming up next, we got the man, the myth, the legend, the ear biter. I ain't going to say it to his face, but hey, I'm going to let him know. My man, Iron Mike Tyson, coming up next. All right, it's finally here. It's that time. I told you he was coming, and he has finally arrived. And now on the Triple Threat Podcast, we have not Iron Mike Tyson. And we want to tell you guys, April Fool's. People so mad at us right now. They waited all this time to hear from Iron Mike Tyson, and he ain't even here because we talking about April Fool. We hope y'all are not too mad at our April Fool's joke just because it's April the 1st. We got to have April Fool's. Got to have a little fun. I hope you're laughing. I hope you say, I hate those guys, but I like listening to them guys. But we had to get your little April Fool's joke. And guess what? It was Scotty D's. It was his idea. So if y'all mad, make sure y'all tweet Scotty D and y'all let him know, because he the one brought it up. I just went along with it. So happy April Fool's, everybody. We hope you guys have enjoyed the Triple Threat Podcast today. We talked about a lot of good things. I know you want to hear from Iron Mike Tyson. Maybe we can get him on here one day. We'll see what happens. But for now, this April Fool's Day, we have no Iron Mike Tyson. So we appreciate you guys joining us, man. Continue to subscribe. Continue to listen. Please tell somebody, because we enjoy doing this. We want people to hear what's happening. And we talk about a lot of good stuff here on the Triple Threat Podcast. I'm DJ Shockley. My man Scotty D here with the great idea on April Fool's. We hope you guys come back next week. And we promise we won't have any April Fool's jokes for you next week. We just did it this week. We love you. We appreciate you. This has been the Triple Threat Podcast. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.